Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. And today we are going to be talking with billionaire investor Ziad Albanor. He is the owner of Blackhawk Partners Investment Company and also the author of Economic Warfare, Secrets of Wealth Creation in the Age of Welfare Politics. He is also the founder and chairman of the Financial Policy Council, a public policy-oriented organization with an objective of educating and informing the public about economic and fiscal matters. A Lebanese-born American, he's an expert on the Middle East, and he's direct and honest, something that's pretty refreshing these days. Otherwise, we won't be able to understand what's really going on. So I really welcome anybody that comes on to my show that's direct and honest. And he's that. So this is a great conversation. And before we get into our interview with Ziad, I just want to remind you that you can go to my website at sarahwestall.com and you can get contact information for Ziad. You can also get information on how to get his book. And you can also see all the different episodes and articles that I have up on my website. I have a YouTube channel. I put all of them up there. I don't put all of them up there. I put most of my shows up on YouTube, but not all of them. Maybe a third of them don't make it up on YouTube. And so you can go to my website. You can hear all of them there. I also do some extensive, I did a lot more extensive articles when I wasn't doing as many shows. Now that I got more shows going on, my articles aren't as extensive, but there is still a lot of information there and links and really good charts and things that you can look at. So remember, sarahwestall.com, and I want to remind you that I play at 3 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday on the Global Star Satellite, and also at 5 p.m. on Wednesday on the Global Star Satellite, and Mondays on WBLQ in New York, Rhode Island, and Connecticut, and that's at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And then it's on 90-plus channels, digital channels streaming, and also in podcast, and of course my YouTube channel, which is really taking off. So I recommend that you subscribe to that, please, to help get the word out, or share if there's any good shows that you really think people need to learn. Try to bring on experts so that people could really learn about what's going on. And if you think it's worth sharing with people, please do that, because we got to get the word out and get people educated on what's going on. And also my newsletter, please sign up for that. You can do that on my website. So let's get right into this interview now with Ziad Albanor. Hi, Ziad. Welcome to the program.
My pleasure, Sarah.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. We need to really talk about this economic picture that we have going on. The stock market has been going crazy. It's so bizarre to me because it's so obvious there's a bubble going on. What do you think of our U.S. economic situation?
Well, you got to pay attention to March 15. It's the debt ceiling deadline, at which point everything could grind to a halt. So we're very close to the edge here. And let's see how they react to that. The Trump hype, you know, all this great stuff happening in the stock market, it's great. $3 trillion in wealth was created. I hope people can take advantage of this, because it's not going to last. It's too good to be true. It's not because of Trump. Trump is doing everything he can because of what he inherited. Real mess. And maybe this is what they wanted him to inherit. And they're making more problems for him. So I think fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be really, really rough. And it's coming. And I'm not Mr. Doom and Gloom. I'm a very optimistic guy. I'm a capitalist. But, you know, we can't sustain this. $2 billion in payment in interest every day. How you can sustain this? $20 trillion, $21 trillion in debt. So it's really going to be, you know, the deadline is approaching. Let's see what they're going to do. I think it's going to get much worse before it gets better. Buy as much gold as you can. Be careful. Listen to the real news, to the real players. Don't listen to the fake news, to the propaganda. Everybody likes to do propaganda. Everybody wants to stay in power. That's my short answer.
So the fundamentals are just so bizarre, and it's been going on for so long. I'm surprised that it hasn't crumbled before this. But it seems that large parts of mainstream are suffering and have been for a long time, while Wall Street seems immune, and it has been for a long time. Why is that?
Well, Wall Street can do things that the market, the public, cannot do. You know, they are market makers. They make markets. Everything is rigged by the Fed anyway. The Fed is their friend. All the stuff happening is because of the Fed. Look, the biggest, the head of the snake is the Federal Reserve. You know, that's it. It's not Wall Street. Wall Street plays the game well once they know what the Federal Reserve is doing. They are great game players. But they don't make markets. The Fed makes things happen. The Fed rigs this and that. The Fed makes or breaks presidents. The Fed kept Obama in power all this time, you know, with all the stuff that was happening. They kept him in power. That's it. That's the head of the snake.
So the bankers rule the world.
The bankers rule the world because they know how to play the game better than anyone else. Because they know the rules of the game. They know really the rules of the game. And they know what to do. I mean, the public follows. They listen to the bankers. They listen to this and that. You know, they buy overpriced securities. They buy overvalued assets. They invest in private companies, all these stupid angel investors at valuations at crazy, like this other guy was showing me a deal, a private deal. His company was losing around $10, $12 million, lost that money last year, and he was valuing his company at $127 million, and he had already raised $30 million on that.
It's just crazy. It's all built on just illusions.
Who's the stupid $30 million going to put company at a valuation of $127 million for a company losing money? There's no rationale anymore. It's all hype.
Well, I saw something. I saw something this morning that showed that. I saw something this morning that showed that for every dollar that was coming in to the stock market, which is a lot because it's going up like crazy, that over 100, I think it was like 133, something like that, is going out from insiders. They're pulling out money like crazy.
You know what, Sarah? It's not just the stock market. Look at the private equity markets. Look at the VC markets. It's lunacy there. Look at all those unicorns. I don't know how many hundred companies losing money, not having any revenues, and valued at $1 billion or more.
Is it like the dot-com situation? Because I know when, during the dot-com, all these new companies were doing nothing. It was all smoke and mirrors, and they're being thrown money.
It's going to be worse. It's going to be worse. And you know what? I'm not going to cry on them. They're going to be humbled. They don't seem to learn. The ego is so big. The expectations are so high. They don't seem to learn, you know? They don't seem to learn nothing. People don't learn. They keep doing the same mistake. Look, I don't mind people doing mistake and learning the second time. People don't learn. Do the same stupidities again and again because they're lured by somebody who's going to tell them this is the way to go. You know?
Well, how can the country get out of this? Because, well, let's look at some examples here. According to certain government sites, like military sites where I've done some research, and independent analysts, they're saying trillions of dollars are missing from an unaccounted money missing from the United States. And this is going on every year. I mean, it's how can we survive with trillions of dollars? I mean, we got debt that's crazy, but then there's trillions of dollars that are just missing from our budget.
These are trillions of dollars where there's no checks and balances, my dear. Have you heard about the black projects?
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. You know how many goes into that? It's none of your business to know. You shouldn't know. And if you ever know about this, you're in trouble. So.
Yeah, and never mind that we don't know, but it's going to destroy our country because it's trillions of dollars racked up for years. But it's not my business to know, even though it'll wreck our neighborhoods and communities when our country falls apart because we don't have money.
Sarah, I'm with you. I can't agree with you more. The problem is that every time you have excesses like this, abuses like that, you don't have checks and balances. The Fed has no checks and balances. this black project money has no checks and balances. There's some authorities who decide this, and they do it. And as long as you don't have checks and balances, you're going to have these abuses.
Yeah, but so how can our country even bounce back with that kind of abuses going on year after year? I mean, how do we recover from that?
Well, number one, you got to have checks and balances for everything. Everything. Nobody is immune to that. It doesn't exist yet. They talk about it. Nothing is done about it. They've been talking about the Fed thing. They've been talking about all this stuff for years. Nothing has been done. I think Trump can do this. He's going to piss off a lot of people, but he can do this. Two.
Well, I don't care if he pisses off people if he can do that. I mean, that's too important, but go ahead.
You need true leadership, okay, to do this, because this is like very controversial stuff. And you know what? This has not been done before. People don't like change. Old habits die hard. That's what happened. Two. People have to be smarter about things. You know, people don't do any due diligence. It's the soundbite age. They read quickly. They make an opinion very quickly. And they don't think. They don't do their homework. They don't do any due diligence. They buy into a company, an angel round, or a stock, or anything, or even some real estate because they think they're going to flip it, and there's always going to be the greater fool theory. Some other idiot is going to buy it from them. They don't do sound bites because they're too busy. They're too busy socializing on Facebook, but they don't have enough time to do the most important work. I love some people who tell me I'm busy, and then I see him in a while going heavily and doing some postings on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. That's busy. That's being busy. Nobody wants to meet anymore. Nobody wants to talk anymore. Nobody wants to spend quality time anymore. It's all the age of the soundbite. Fast, fast, fast. And they think they get all this information that's pretty much all of it is rigged, manipulated, to play their minds. And people are falling for this. No due diligence, no work, follow this and that guy. Like some guys come to me, they tell me, you know what, look at this company. And I see that, you know, some major investors, big name, brand name, have invested in that. And they lost their shirt. They lost over $100 million. And now they want us to invest in this company. Oh, you know what? But look at who invested. I don't give a crap about who invested. Look at the company. They can't execute. I will fire all the management. You can't say that. You can't say that. You know, you have to, you know, there is a pecking order you have to abide by. And this is how all the losers think. They follow a pecking order. You know, this has invested in this. It must be good. This guy said that, it must be right. No challenge, no challenging. They don't have time to read, to challenge, to do this. They don't have time to do their due diligence. They don't have time to gather the intelligence. And so you have no checks and balances on the other side. It's like a zoo. It's a circus run amok. You know, they don't have time to, the guys control everything and they feed people what they want to feed them, manipulate their minds. No checks and balances, and the people are equally gullible in believing all that crap and in listening to this and that without having an independent mind, a free opinion, and challenging this. I mean, this is what's happening. And as long as we have this, you know, we're going to have those problems. Now, sometimes you have some controversial guys coming and talking about this and that. They try to shun him. What is this guy talking about? I follow some market analysts who really know their stuff very well. And I'm a friend of a number of them. I meet them in person. Whoever made the effort to meet these guys, to talk to them, to challenge everything. You know, it's how you allocate your time in the day. Their priorities. One thing is for sure. Nobody gives a crap about you or about your future or about if you're doing well or not. You have to take care of yourself. That's it. So I follow.
No politicians
everybody
care.
Everybody should be a cash flowing independent entity, not to relying on a job, not to relying on the government, not to relying on a corporate entity. You have to be a cash flow generating own entity. Sarah Inc., Ziad Inc., John Inc., Peter Inc., that generates cash flow, because you know how you use your brain, your network, your resources, your relationship. Once you start becoming self-reliant, then you start thinking in a crystal clear way and differentiating the wheat from the chaff.
And become more laser focused on what you're trying to get accomplished.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, a lot of people rely. This is the problem. They rely on the nose. They rely on some Wall Street firm. They rely on what their friends told them. They don't do any homework. They rely on a job. Oh, I left the job. Now I have to find a job very quickly, because if I last 2 months without a job, it's going to show a gap. Who cares? You know, it's like there's, you know, today finding a job is like slavery, corporate slavery in the 100 years ago. People working at the plantation. I have to find a job. Job is security. Job is no security. Job is control. They control your mind, your life, your everything. You have to be self-reliant. You have to do your due diligence. You have to read a lot. And see. How many Americans read stuff? Read books. Who has time to read books today? You know, that's the problem. We have to come back to that, to the thought. Because when you don't read, you don't analyze, you don't process information, you don't differently. Oh, they would rather see a quote on Facebook or on Twitter, or that this is reality. It's not. It's bad habits. All this stuff is bad habits. Frankly, the internet, in my opinion, all the harm, all the good they did even more harm than good. Because it made people less sociable, not more sociable. Nobody has time to see anybody anymore. Nobody has time to talk to people anymore on the phone. It's all text, etc. No reliance on really information. All the news are now fake. All the information is there is rigged. You don't know what's truth, what's fake, what's reality, what's fiction. And to be able to know this and to make the right decisions, you have to do your homework. You really have to dig much deeper. You have to really take care of yourself. Yourself should come first. Yourself, not your company. You take care of yourself first, because nobody gives a crap about you or your future. They can talk and tell you that. They don't. Maybe Trump cares. Yes. But one of the very few. But all of the politicians before him, believe me, they didn't give a crap, and look what happened.
They talk a good game, though, huh? And you got all these people that believe it.
You know what, Sarah? They're very slick, and people are so stupid. You know, honestly, because they look at people, oh, this guy has a nice tie. His hair is combed right. He's very cool. You know, he must know his style. He dresses up well. It's all style. People are forgetting about substance. What is this guy really inside? People don't anymore look at, know about the difference between style and substance. Style, you can fool everybody. Style is substance, you cannot fool people. You really have to go deep into that. You really have to study him or her. And, you know, people have lost this. People have lost this. It's all speed, speed, speed. Faster, faster, quicker. It's not speed. Sometimes you have to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes you have to stop. What are these guys trying to do? What is their agenda? You know, I say to people who listen to Wall Street, don't listen to Wall Street. They have their own agenda. Do what they say. Don't do what they do. What they do. Don't do what they say. They have an agenda. They've bought a pack of securities. They want to unload it to some idiots. Though they try to sell you the stuff, it goes down. Do you think there is any ethics left? Yeah, right. Yeah. In your dream world. You gotta be skeptical. There's nothing wrong in being skeptical. You gotta be all that kind of, you know what? People have lost this.
Well, you don't want to be naive, right? Educate yourself and don't be naive and realize. Okay, so let's talk about what do we need to do as a country then? Are we gonna need to go bankrupt and actually hit the floor before we can change this around? Because if nobody cares about the country, it it's gonna we're gonna have to hit
You know,
the
look,
bottom.
I mean, this is a very good question, Sarah. Look, we don't need to go bankrupt. Nobody needs to go bankrupt. But unfortunately, unless something drastic happens, people don't learn. People don't learn until or unless they're really affected economically, politically, everything. People don't seem to learn. I mean, even the 2008-2009 crisis, people didn't learn much because it wasn't strong enough. I mean,
the bubble's bigger now than it ever was. It's crazy when you look at what's going on. We never fixed the problem, and now we have it's absolutely crazy.
Because we never fixed the problem because, I mean, all this, too big to fail, you know, the bailouts, it's all crap. We have capitalism today, you know, capitalism, in my opinion, should be without a net. You fall, you're done, you're finished, you're out. You cannot be bailed out if you fall. Whatever problems you'll create, because that's how you learn. And this is how a new group of people will emerge to take over your position and to fix a situation. If you make $1 billion, you have all the right to keep your $1 billion. Nobody has the right to cap you because you took the risk. But if you lose $1 billion, you're done. You're out. You shouldn't even be there. And this is the problem. We have the same people in power. It's a revolving door. They keep screwing up, and we keep giving them more chances. It's an oligopoly of people who went to the Ivy League colleges, who connected with each other. It's a club. It's a mafia. It's an establishment, whatever you want to call it. And they stay in power. And we allow them to stay in power. And we saw the damage they did, the political damage with all these incursions all over the world where we spent $6 trillion in the Middle East, and I agree with Trump on that. Or the economic crisis, 2008 and 9 crisis, where it was a havoc, we kept them in power. Did you hear about any one of them going to jail or anything? Nothing. None of the Wall Street exec, unless they are immigrants. Used as a guinea pig. Look at this immigrant who came from, like, I heard a couple of stories here and there, a guy from Egypt, a guy from there. But did you see the real establishment going there? No. It's a club. It's a masquerade. Absolute circus.
So, okay, well, do you see, because it is a big farce. So I see us needing to really have pain before things are going to get fixed. Do you think that the dollar will end up needing to be reset? I mean, how much pain are we going to have to see, and when are we going to start seeing this? Because it's crazy right now. And I would have thought that we would have been forced to fix our problems years ago.
Yes, but it's too complicated. Everybody was kicking the can. You cannot kick the can for too long. It's going to happen in Trump's term. Definitely before 4 years, but within that time period, because we cannot sustain this anymore, and because it's going to take some time to turn around the economy. It's a race right now, because turning around the economy or exploding. I think we've reached a point where, unfortunately, I am afraid we're going to explode before we turn around the economy.
Well, MIT said that in the year 2032 or something, mathematically, is when we hit that wall. There was a bunch of researchers there that tried to figure out, you know, how long could we go? Do you think it'll because part of me thinks we will push it until mathematically we can't go any farther. But you think it's going to happen before that?
Yes, I think we have reached the point. We have reached that that thing.
That mathematical point is earlier.
Yeah. The mathematical point is within the next 4 years, but even before that. I mean, as I told you before, Sarah, the deadline for the thing is March 15. I mean, that's, you know, we're really very close. This euphoria on the stock market is good, but it's not going to last. Look, I'm not here trying to spread the doom and gloom thing. I look at numbers. I look at facts. I study the market very closely. I don't want it to ever happen, but we have reached a point whereby it is going to happen. The point is, the thing is that how do you react? What do you do? You know, stuff happens. You know, How do you react to it? How do you do this? It's gonna be maybe the worst ever that we've ever experienced.
So yes, what should people do?
The dollar is affected. If the dollar is affected, basically, this is gonna change our role in the world. We are a petrodollar, you know, it's oil and dollars, a country because of the strength of the dollar. A lot of the stuff happened in the Middle East and there, it's not to spread democracy, it's all crap. It's for the dollar, to sustain the dollar, the power of the central banks, to control the central banks, money. That's what it is. So yes, it is going to change our role. Yes, I mean, it's going to be massive. It's really, but however, how we handle it from there.
If the dollar collapses,
it's going to affect us geopolitically, yes. It's going to affect us economically, yes. All this stuff.
But if the dollar collapses, will then it be decoupled from the petrodollar and we'll lose our place in the world? But what's going to replace the petrodollar? Will we be able to have other forms of energy? Will it end up being a good thing in the future? Because doesn't the petrodollar hold oil as the number one? I mean, will it change the energy equation?
Yeah, it will change. Absolutely, it will change. You have rivals right now emerging very strong in this, China and Russia. Yes, it will change. And Russia is putting towards that. A lot of the Arab countries are pushing away from the dollar. A lot of the allies to Russia and China are pushing for that. Yes, they're waiting. They're lurking out there, waiting for something to happen. Absolutely. They're going to view this as an opportunity. To really capitalize on it.
We're stupid in a lot of ways because they don't even have to go to war with us. We could just destroy ourselves.
You said the word, I didn't say it, but that's exactly the right conclusion. You're absolutely right. We have been stupid, as Trump was saying, for a very long time. And now it's catching up on us. You know, that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, the thing is that, you know, I mean, it's been beyond belief what we have been doing, both politically, economically, and, you know, there's a price to pay. We're going to pay for it. It's not wishful thinking. I hate that. I'm an American. I'm very pro, but it is going to happen. And maybe this will teach us a lesson, as you said before. But so far, all the stuff that happened to us, we never really got a lesson out of it. Everything is fine. America will always be great. We'll come back to this, you know, cycle 3-5 years, contraction, then expansion, contraction, then expansion. You know, well, yeah, but you have reached a point whereby you cannot, you know, Albert Einstein saying, you know, insanity is doing the same thing again and again, expecting different results. Well, it's exactly what we've been doing. We've been doing this for decades and same results, you know, expansion, contraction. Well, you reach a point whereby that's it. The clock start ticking.
So you think that the only way we're going to be able to really turn the ship around is to run into a big iceberg and maybe sink first, and then we can go?
Yes, because it will change everyone. It will change the people. Mm-hmm. It will make the people much more reliable on themselves, as I told you. Sarah Ng, Ziad Ng, then on governments, corporations, etc., who have hijacked your life, your future, your thinking, your thoughts, everything. People have to rely on themselves. I mean, and this is how you build a nation. And when you have people relying on themselves and differentiating the wheat from the chaff and looking really for the interest of their country, of their families, of everything, this is how you do. We've been relying on too much people, wrong information. We haven't been doing any due diligence. The people in power have taken us all for a ride, for a long ride, but now they're being discovered. You know, all this stuff, because the last election, 2016, people start realizing how the establishment worked, what is the meaning of deep states, what is the meaning of globalist, what is the meaning of globalist agenda. They started knowing this. Before that, it was total opaque. Nobody saw nothing. It's happening. And once people start realizing this, things are going to happen. They're afraid, the establishment is afraid, because this is a revolution in the making, and they cannot stop it. And the old school, they cannot stop it, and nobody can stop it. And this is why it's going to happen. And this is going to empower a lot of people. Wake up. This is reality.
Do you think the revolution is going to be a revolution in people figuring things out, or do you think it could get violent?
I hope it will not get violent, but there is a tendency to get violent. But, you know, we have enough, law and order here, or at least we have a president who pretty much backs law and order and favors law and order to fix things. But obviously, there's going to be excesses. There's going to be abuses. There's going to be like every revolution, stuff happens.
Yeah. Okay. So what? It's going to be scary. What do you think of the Federal Reserve? What's going to happen there? Do you think this will give us an opportunity to relook at how our banking system is set up from the top, or do you think we're going to be still stuck with it?
Look, I mean, there's two authorities in this country that have to be curtailed and that have to be managed much more aggressively, because both of them act like a state within the state. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and they think they know the interests of the country better than any American. They are the Federal Reserve and the Central Intelligence Agency. Federal Reserve on the economic side and the Central Intelligence Agency on the political side. These two guys, groups, run America, run the world. Not president, not anything, not anybody. Congress, president, that's a form. Real power resides in these two institutions. And as long as these institutions are totally unaccountable to anyone, no checks and balances, you're going to have this circus going on and on and on. So basically, the idea is keep the American public entertained, happy with all the dog and pony shows. Give them what they want. Give them a booming stock market. They don't want to bother going into your affairs. And you keep doing what you want. Keep them entertained. That's it. Don't keep them knowledgeable. Don't get them to be knowledgeable. You don't want a smart public, because that's a rise in, dissent. Keep them stupid and nice and happy. And that's been the policy. This has got to change, because the world is changing, and this will change because people have definitely become smarter because of the internet, because now they have access to information they never had before, because of the spreading of the of the news, whether fake or not. People are now quick to know what's fake, what's not, what's crap, what's real value. And they're starting to do what I'm telling you right now, but it's very slow process. I think this process is going to accelerate much more as we go along, and people are going to really wake up more, and the elites are going to be threatened. They are already threatened. You know, guys who think with their money and their power they can change the whole world, like George Soros or Hillary Clinton, have failed. Like Zbigniew Brzezinski, who says, he gives his theory about elitism and how the world works, world order, have failed. Republican or Democrat establishment have failed. This is different. It's spreading across the world, not only the United States, Europe, France, England, Brexit, Austria, Le Pen, everybody. And it's going to be like this. It's the power of the individual. But unfortunately, something really bad is going to happen, and this is going to waken up the individual much more aggressively to take over back their life, their future, and their reliance on groups like the Fed, like the CIA, like groups like that. This is not fantasy. This is reality. It's coming. I can see it, read it between the lines. It's coming. And people may not accept this. It's unavoidable.
So what can we do? What specific things with the Federal Reserve and the CIA needs to happen in order to break those institutions down to represent the people instead of be, do they have to be totally eliminated and a new one? Or what do you think is going to end up happening? Or don't
maybe
you know?
Eliminated, maybe reform them, maybe whatever it is. It's a long story, but basically make them accountable. Mm-hmm. Make them accountable.
Audited?
They're running now
audited, pull the blanket out from under over them and figure out what they're actually doing? Create some transparency?
You have to have a serious talk with them. Look, at the end of the day, what matters is the interest of the country. Hold on. It's the interest of the country, the nation. You know, they're running without any checks and balances. You know, there to be serious discussion. It doesn't happen with a push of a button. And there's going to be a lot of resistance to that. Obviously, people in power never relinquish power. Never, ever.
No, they don't.
Take it by force.
Okay, so what specifically is the CIA doing? Because I think there's going to be a lot of cognitive dissonance. And I think that's the problem they're keeping people from becoming aware, because there's a lot of information that's out there. What specifically is the CIA doing that is really creating a nightmare for us that people are unaware of?
Well, they're allying with your worst enemies. I think.
So are they aligning with ISIS, for example?
They created ISIS along with Mossad and MI6. They are. They don't want Trump to talk to Putin. You want to know something really? They don't want Trump to talk to Putin because talking to Putin and aligning with Putin, they're going to crush ISIS, which is a creation of CIA and Mossad and MI6. That's the world order. They created them. So Trump aligned to all this stuff, this crap in the thing, Trump, they don't want, because Trump and Putin together, they are two hardball guys who are going to put the thing in order. So these renegades who created this stuff to create more instability for oil, for money, for politics, for a zillion reasons, they're going to crush them, their plans. This not happen. This is why you have guys like McCain, etc., coming against them. All this club are part of that elite. You know, this is the stuff. Now, how do I know all this stuff? Because I talk to a lot of people here and there. I don't read it. This is not stuff you read in the media. The media will never tell you this stuff. That's reality.
So is their agenda simply power, to sell arms, to have control of the Middle East? Because ISIS is an evil entity. I mean, the things that they're doing is absolutely incredible. So what is the essence of these people that they can create such an evil thing? I mean, did they get out of hand?
Let me tell you, okay? The Middle East, the Arabs have been fighting wars for decades against Israel, against this and that. Never ever, and I've witnessed all this stuff, never ever in the history of the Middle East you had such a lean military machine like ISIS coming from and run by Arabs. Impossible. They're not that organized. They're not that smart. They're not that thing. Unless they have backing by intelligence apparatus, Western intelligence apparatus, who's feeding them money, discipline, resources, and this lethal approach. You know, we've seen them. How is ISIS so ruthless? Because they didn't come, a bunch of Arabs decided to create the caliphate and do this on their own. No way. I know the Arabs. I know the Arab world. I know how they think, even the most lethal ones. They have been backed by people who really know this stuff very well. That's the proof that they are the backbone of this. Number two, I mean, these guys, I mean, you were saying, what is your other question? What was?
Well, I was wondering what their, I mean, with such an evil
their agenda
actions.
Is very simple. Let me tell you something. Their agenda is very simple. I was in the Arab world in 2000. I was in Saudi Arabia for business, nothing of business. So I met with a bunch of guys, you know, from big merchants, not the royal family, not political guys, not anything. Big merchants, big merchants. And we started talking and having a dinner like this. And basically, one of them told me something. He told me, look, Ziad, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to tell you. Because he knows I'm very westernized, you know. I'm living in the States for 30 years, etc. He said, look, the first 2,000 years, it was a Judeo-Christian civilization. The world was run by Judeo-Christian civilization. Wait and see what's coming to you. He told me this in 2000. He told me it is time for us now to rule the world. What is their agenda? Their agenda is very simple. It's exactly what this guy said. They want to rule the world. They want to have a Sharia law. They want to have all their laws all over the world. In the Western world, we create, we procreate two children per family, 2.5 or 1.5. They bring 10. You know, their goal is not what's going to happen next year or next 10 years. It's next 50 years. Well, it's going to be their presence in Europe, in the U.S. next 50 years.
So they immigrate and infiltrate.
The way they think about it, time is on their side. Time is on their side.
But what's the agenda of like McCain and some of these other people, the CIA, that's supporting them? I mean, I don't understand if their agenda is to come in, immigrate, infiltrate, take over in the long run.
Because they don't look at it this way. They think old age mentality, you know, cold war, I mean, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, access to oil, control, dominations, etc. They don't realize that these guys over there are much more assertive and smart than they think. Look, you go to the Arab world right now. I go there a lot. I travel a lot all over the world. You know, these guys, a lot of them, I'm talking about the new generation. These guys have Ivy League degrees. They went to Harvard, Wharton, Stanford. They worked on Wall Street. Each one of them has 3 passports. Each one of them speaks 3-4 languages, you know, which is not your average American. This is only the super elite in America who has this. And mostly they are immigrants because there are very few Americans who speak other languages. So, but these guys live in the old ages, like a bunch of guys, ragheads. We're going to control them, etc. So that's how it is. But it's not like this. There's a difference between reality and facts. They haven't really gotten there yet, or they know this and they don't want to admit it. It's control. You know, Bush, when he said, you know what, the cowboy mentality, you're going to take 2 buildings. You took 2 buildings. I'm going to take 2 countries. That's the ego. That's the hubris. That's the hubris.
It's stupid.
That's the hubris of the American administration, Sarah. You took 2 countries. I'm going to take 2. You took 2 buildings. I'm going to take 2 countries, Afghanistan and Iraq. And he did. And we spent $6 trillion because Bush was affected because Saddam Hussein was threatening his father. It was a personal vendetta. And he brought the whole country to war to spend $6 trillion because he didn't like this. His ego was bruised as a cowboy. That's reality. That's reality.
So essentially, they're living in an old paradigm. They haven't. Yes. They have a cognitive dissonance. They just can't see that the world is different around them. So now the people who want a global world and trying to have a global agenda, are those the same people or are those different? The bankers.
The same people. They think these guys are not worth governing themselves, and that we need a global world order. We, us, the Ivy Leaguer, capitalist American, the super race to govern them all and the whole world, all world of idiots. That's how they deeply think in their mind. Of course, they're not going to say this, but that's exactly how they think. You know, they're not worth it, which is exactly very wrong. Because you cannot change people. You cannot impose democracies. If we left Saddam Hussein alone, I wrote a blog some time ago saying to the addressing the organization, saying to them, you know what? We spent $6 billion. If you have spent $1 billion a year on Saddam as your puppet in the region, he would have controlled all these guys and you would have never had these problems and you would still be in control. But no, they wanted to teach him a lesson. Well, you don't teach this guy a lesson because these guys, as Trump said, they have the same blood, they have the same feelings, they're human beings. You cannot go and treat them like this. They're going to react, and they reacted. So to outsmart their reaction, you know, like what they say, if you cannot beat them, you join them. CIA and Mossad and MI6 decided to basically join them, and they think it's easier to manipulate them by joining them and by backing them. That's what's happened. And now it's running totally out of control. Totally out of control. And that's what's happening. If we kept them like this, we kept them a couple of dollars, Saddam Hussein would be very happy to be the Don Corleone of the United States in the Middle East, buying cigars and having fun and relaxing and controlling all the terrorists. The same thing with Gaddafi, everything. The global order basically saying, you guys are all not worth living or governing because you know nothing. We know it all. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. It's going to backfire. It is backfire. They are losing power. They are really scared because they cannot control things anymore. The same thing, that's on the political side. On the business side, the same thing. The Fed cannot control everything anymore. They used to. It's getting out of control, the economic thing. Because today, the United States is not the sun anymore. It's a planet. There's other rising planets competing with the United States, which is China and Russia.
So now when we have our global or our region, will it be a global depression? Will it affect everyone?
It will affect a lot of the people who are pretty much close to the U.S. system, yeah. I don't think it's going to affect a lot of people in Africa.
How about China and Russia?
Yes, of course. China are major players. China, Russia, the Western Europe, definitely.
Well, where are we going to be sitting from the Middle East? Are they going to gain power at that point? And we're going to be, from a military standpoint, are we going to be more at risk? Or is that one of the reasons Donald Trump wants to prepare ourselves for, so that when we do go under, we at least can protect ourselves?
Donald Trump is doing the right thing. Whatever people say about him, he's doing the right thing. I'm not saying this because I'm a fan of Donald Trump, because I'm a very objective guy. He really knows what he's doing. He really knows how to delegate and, you know, use power when he needs to use power, and use diplomacy when he needs to. He's not a warmonger. He doesn't have this attitude, but sometimes war has to happen. You know, we could not have dislodged Hitler without war. You know, some guys need to learn a lesson. These guys need to learn a lesson. Not everyone. But power is a very elusive thing. There is, you know, when to use it and when not. Anyway, to come back to your question, the Middle East, well, you know, look, I mean, I've been saying, look, the Middle East is a very wealthy region. Look, give you an example, okay? I want to elaborate a bit on that. Every time people in the Western world talk about the Middle East, they talk about Muslim, terrorism, Islamism, radicalism, stuff like that. Well, that's the wrong narrative, because there's a lot of people in the Middle East who are very westernized, who love the United States, who love coming to the United States, who send their sons to the United States, who are very Western-minded, but we never talk about these guys. There's a zillion entrepreneurs in Dubai, in Israel, like Silicon Valley. You know, they are like Silicon Valley. We never talk about them.
Yeah, all you have to do is travel to Dubai, and you see a completely
exactly, Sarah. I mean, you know, and we never talk about them. I mean, why not? We have, you know, to really bridge gaps, you have to bring people to the table. You have to put them in power. You have to respect them. You have to do them, and they will invest heavily in your country, and they will help towards the building of a global world. Look. The United States has $21 trillion in deficit. China has $22 trillion with the Sovereign Wealth Fund in surplus. The Middle East has $20 trillion in surplus. So between the surplus of money and China and the Middle East, okay, you can cover all the deficit in the United States. Why do we keep borrowing? Why don't we bring them to invest directly in the United States? Why all these regulations for Chinese investors to invest in the United States? Why all the regulations for Arab investors to invest in the United States? Why? I mean,
people are afraid that if China comes in, they could just buy out our whole country.
They cannot buy out. I mean, they don't.
But you know what I'm saying.
Nobody has enough money because they're ignorant. Nobody has enough money to buy out the United States. They're going to have major stakes. But then you know what? You create jobs. You create trading. They buy, they sell. They buy, they sell. We were trading. We were traders.
We'd still control people. The government. We'd still control the rules and laws.
Exactly. Well, what if he's going to buy? I mean, the Chinese bought the Waldorf Astoria. So what? What does this mean? Do they control? They control nothing. They're improving the Waldorf Astoria. They're going to hear it in New York City. They're going to turn it into condos. They bought it for $6.9 billion. You know, what's wrong? Nothing wrong with that. Before that, if you remember, I mean, I've been around, you've been around, the Japanese buying major U.S. assets, like the Rockefeller Center, etc. in the past. So what? What changed? It's good. When money flows, it's good. When you have disruption and money doesn't flow, it's bad for everybody. So that's good. You have a bunch of guys in power who know nothing about business, finance, trade, prosperity, wealth creation, who are a stumbling block for this because they have a complex of superiority versus the Chinese or the Arabs as to they're going to buy this and that. They want that. They, you know what? These guys love America, love our principle. This is how you bridge gap. This is how you bridge cultural differences by promoting trade, business, fair trade, as Trump says, fair trade, not stupid trade, fair trade.
Ethical, fair. Fair is ethical. So how will, and let's get into something positive or sort of, this is a positive, but I don't know how it's going to react with what's going to happen before it, but how will innovation and the explosion of new technology, which is happening all around us, people don't even know how much this is going to affect their lives. How do you think it'll impact the country and the world long term and short term? Is the United States even set? Are we even a right spot to take advantage of all this?
Number one, all the criticism, all the bad stuff is constructive, what I'm saying here.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely.
Not trying to dampen, you know, so I just want to put it for the record, so that's one. Number two, yes, I mean, absolutely, to answer your question, technology, innovation, what the entrepreneurs in the United States are doing, I mean, look, this is it. I mean, the United States is the hub. The United States should be the business address of the world. And I agree with Trump again on that. It has to, regarding immigrants, it has to be a meritocracy. Meritocracy. We wanna buy, acquire, host, help, support every guy with a brain out there who can bring value. We are a nation of merit. You go into politics because you want to be in politics, not because you're a lawyer or because you're a sneaky guy, but because you really can have an agenda who can bring value. You go into business, you build companies because of that. You get the funding from institutions through that. We should be transformed from the warmonger in the world who kills and bombs people because they don't think like us or because they don't abide by our doctrine, but rather a business address, come in here, make business. You know, we will open up everything for you. Meet like-minded people from any country in the world. Whether you're pink, brown, black, yellow,
white.
Who
cares?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And whether even also whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jew. You know, I mean, look, religion is a personal thing. It's none of your business. It's a personal thing. Whoever you pray for, it's your business. As long as it doesn't interfere with others' freedom, society, growth, etc. So this is how we have to turn. This is how, now, I think the internet technology is good. Of course it's good because it's opening up people to think like this because of the exchange of information. I mean, for example, you know, you post a blog on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, and you get people responding. Sometimes you have arguments. It's good. Arguments is good. It makes people think, you know, there's a forum for that. So all this stuff is good, but it's not enough. You have to really have the political establishment adopt this. Think about a meritocracy. Basically, look, at the end of the day, the guys who are going to rise on top of the world are people who have attracted the smartest people out there, who have created a real meritocracy, whether Dubai does it, Israel does it, the United States does it. That's it. It should be a competition for that, not... You know what? You have this. You don't. You don't fit my doctrine or my agenda. I'm going to bomb you, or I'm going to send some undercover operation to undermine you because you are not in my interest. Because it's not in the United States economic interest. The United States economic interest should really consist of the world economic interest, not just the United States economic interest. Because you know what? Business is not a zero sum game. Everybody has to win. And so far, unfortunately, we had some ignorant hicks in power, I'm going to call them like this, who think that it's a zero-sum game. The United States should always win, and they should always lose. No, it should be fair, it should be balanced, everybody should win. We will win more than them because we're a bigger country, we have more resources, but they will win their fair share. It's like when I do a deal. I don't look in the deal what I am making versus what the other guy is making. Some guys may be making more than me, some guys less than me. At the end of the day, as long as I get my fair share, I'm happy. Everybody has to make money. Everybody has to win. This is what wealth creation is all about. And then start thinking about it also differently. Everybody talk, the big talk right now, job creation, job creation, job creation. We need to create more jobs. Wrong. That's the wrong narrative, in my opinion. It should be about wealth creation. The government should create an environment, and Trump is doing that, that's conducive for wealth creation. Not just job creation. Job creation is slavery. Is people having not think and rely on a corporate entity or on the government. A lot of those corporate entities and government, by the way, 20, 30 years from now, they're going to be irrelevant because of the rise of artificial intelligence, blockchain, fintech, all these technologies, robots, robo-advisors, all these jobs, they're going to be a lot of jobs lost, whether on Wall Street or others. So all these prima donna who think they are irreplaceable, they better start looking at how they're going to really create their own ink, their own wealth creation thing. It's all about wealth creation. Wealth creation and prosperity, the world over, is going to make the world much happier, much less at war, much more productive, much more interactive, thanks to the progress of technology, etc. So technology innovation, to answer your question, is a double-edged sword. Because yes, it can help, as you said, but also, it's going to affect a lot of the working habits of people.
It's disruption. Lots of disruption.
Yes, exactly.
So what do you think of Trump? Do you believe Trump has the right ideas and will ultimately implement a good course of action for the United States?
Trump has the right idea, that's for sure. Trump is getting the right attitude. I heard him a couple of days ago at the State of the Union. Brilliant. He's getting... very good advice. It's not perfect, of course, but you know, that's fine. He's learning the job very quickly. He's very nimble, very focused, really cares, really, really cares. I think he wants to go, he wants this to be his legacy, turning around America, which is the biggest legacy you can have. And I'm very pleased, honestly. I just hope that the Democrats will one day wake up to that, will work with him. It's not politics anymore. We're in a deep mess.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not politics anymore. Enough.
And I think he's really governing more from the middle. There's still some right stuff that he's doing, and he's doing what he said he would do, but a lot of the stuff is in the middle. I mean, he's just trying to fix the country.
I agree. And he honestly is. And he honestly is. And I really wish him the best. And, I'm hopeful. I mean, I'm really happy that he's the president at this point in time, because it's going to change a lot of things. He's going to upset a lot of things. He's going to disrupt a lot, which is good. We need disruption. We are on the wrong track.
Yeah, we do. So how can people get hold of you and learn more about you?
Yeah, well, number one, they can buy my book, Economic Warfare, on Amazon. And I'm right now writing another book that's coming up in August, September, Capitalism from the Inside Out, also which you can get on Amazon, but I think there's already a book on Amazon. My company, Black Hawk Partners, www.blackhawkpartners.com, family office, investments, and my nonprofit, financialpolicycouncil.org.
Okay, and I'll have all that contact information for people up on the radio page and everywhere else as well. So they'll have that. And thank you so much for joining the program. It was really insightful.
Sarah, my pleasure. Everything I can do to help our fellow Americans, this country, you know, whom we all believed in. I'm an immigrant. I came here 30 years ago. I love this country. And we all need to, fix things and move along.
So I hope that interview was enlightening. I think he said a lot of things that were really interesting. I also want to remind you that I have some really great shows coming up. I have the third part of the Pizzagate child sex abuse epidemic that's going on in our country. That's going to air this Wednesday. I have a documentary filmmaker that's going to be joining the program. She did Mari Frankel. She did a expose on the whole foster care system. That's going to be coming out in later this year, 2017. But there is shocking information in that documentary. I was just floored by some of the things that I saw. So she's going to be joining the program, and that will be airing on this coming Wednesday. And of course, I will have all sorts of interesting guests coming up. I also have Cliff High coming back. He just has his new report out, and he's going to be joining us this coming week as well. So for now, I hope everybody has an amazing weekend.